All right, it's the middle of the week here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, and that means it is time for our game preview, where we each and every week we get on here and we talk about our upcoming opponent. And this week it is the Arizona Cardinals. We want to thank everybody who's tuned in with us. Thank you for bearing with us during the technical difficulties. Whether you're watching us live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, or whether you're one of our regular podcast listeners on Podcaster, Castro, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, or Spotify, and many others. We want to thank you for listening to us. If it's the first time you're catching it, whether it's live or replay, by all means, please do us a favor and subscribe and tune in each and every week. You'll get to know when we go live. Even if you're not an Eagles fan, if you're just a football fan, we would like to talk football with you. We'll be more than happy to indulge you and talk about anything, really. Each and every week, we do a game recap, a game preview, and fantasy report. And today is the middle of the week. It's our game preview. So before we get into the Cardinals game, I want to say hi to my partner in crime, which is Tubby. How's it going, Tubby?
It's going good, man. It's going good. I was just thinking, like, should we even talk about the game? I mean, should we even talk about the game? Is that important?
Oh, my gosh. You're pulling.
You don't want to talk about, like, I don't know, TikTok or
my
shirt or anything like that, or my hat. You don't want to talk about my Eagles hat?
You don't want to
talk about the game?
I know exactly what you're doing here. I know exactly what you're doing here. And you know what is significant? It's because here we are previewing the Cardinals game, but nobody during the weekly press conference with Jalen Hurts asked him a single question about the Arizona game, which if he hadn't have done what he did, that's a terrifying prospect to a team find out, you know, that their own city doesn't care enough about them to ask a question about the Cardinals. And Jalen had to insert into the conversation, hey, you guys didn't ask me a single question about Arizona, so I'm going to say this. This is a really good team with a good defensive front and a player in Kyler Murray. He went on. Great point. Yes, we should talk about the game.
Oh, okay.
We definitely are going to.
I was just making sure. I didn't want to. I was just making sure. I have game notes, you know, if you want to talk about the game, but hey, we can talk about sneakers or.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is going on with sports media today? I swear, it's getting crazier and crazier. Before we get to the game, we do want to talk some stuff about the Eagles and what's going on. Of course, like we all know, they are 4-0 right now. They have wins over the Lions, as well as the Commanders, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Minnesota Vikings. And a lot of people are not holding them as having a very strong schedule, but that's okay. We know what their opponents are, whether the rest of the media cares. They dropped in the power rankings to 3 when they didn't lose a game, and Kansas City and Buffalo, who reemerged, that have both lost games. But hey, it is the NFL. Power rankings don't mean jack, because right. Power rankings are for college football. They have no place in the NFL. The Eagles are still 4-0, best record in football, and we are hoping that continues this week after they play the Arizona Cardinals. And also in the news this week, another defensive player of the week for the Eagles. And we saw this one coming. How could you not? 2 forced fumbles, recoveries. It was an amazing day for Hassan Reddick, number 7. He is the beast that we knew we were getting, and I will credit where credit is due, Jonathan Gannon, for using him correctly the last few weeks, putting him in a position to rush the passer, because that's what he does best. He does it best from that linebacker standpoint. You don't have to have him in a 3-4 to do it. He will take you out in a 4-3, and he is showing that. When you just do some zone blitzes, he is killer off the edge, and he showed Trevor Lawrence that with 2 strips. Also in the news this week, just out there, Dallas Goedert is in the Eagles news this week, if you weren't aware. He has now, with 2,535 yards, he's passed L.J. Smith for the 9th most receiving yards by a tight end in Eagles history, and that's significant. He's cracked the top 9. He is a kind of an underrated tight end. We've talked about Dallas a lot, how we appreciate what he's done in an Eagles uniform, and it's a great to have been able to move on from Zach Ertz because we had such a great tight end in Dallas. I do want to mention an L.J. Smith story. L.J. Smith got me in trouble years ago, so I always like talking about L.J. Smith. I was working security at an Eagles game, And I was doing it as a volunteer. And I had end zone security during the NFC Championship game in 2005, which was a dream, by the way, because they were playing the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Vick. And I got to stand in the end zone and watch the game from, I was actually the guy giving all the people that had to watch the crowd, I was giving them breaks. At the end of the game, everybody celebrating, run around on the field. LJ Smith comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, my mom is in the front row of the end zone, but she can't get around the fans, but there is a snowdrift going right up there. Would you help me pick my mama up and put her over the railing and bring her down to the field?" And I'm going to say no to LJ Smith. So me and another guy that I was there with, we walk up the snowbank. His mother was, I'd say, 70s-ish, very small woman, easy to lift. So we just reach over the railing. The three of us, LJ Smith, still in uniform, still in his helmet. So we pick him up, pick her up, put her on the snowbank, walk her down to the end zone. And all I did was I put my hand out to LJ. Now he's taking his helmet off, gave his mom a hug. And I turned to him and I was like, "Hey, great game, LJ." Put my hand out. Dude bear hugged me, lifted me off the ground, screamed into my face, and ran off with his mom. Immediately in my headset, I get called by head of security. Oh, I didn't get called. It just came over the air. "Who is that asshole who let that civilian on the field?" And I was like, "That would be me." I got dressed down. They used to have this head of security that looked just like Andy Reid. And he came he found me. And yeah, I was supposed to work locker room after that game. And he took that away from me. So I did get a hug from LJ Smith, but I did not get to work the locker room after the NFC Championship game. But it's all good because I have more stories from that night, because that's the night I went out in the parking lot and got to drink beers with the Eagles after they were going to the Super Bowl. But that's another tale. So also in the news, if you're under a rock right now, the NFC East is where it's at. Been known as the NFC Least for several years, but now it is the NFC Beast, baby. And you gotta love it, except for look at the very end here. I love this graphic. I know. You got the Eagles, Cowboys, Giants. And you got Carson. I love this movie, man. It's beautiful. Yeah, except for the Commanders. I mean, the division is looking really, really good. And they've all got significant games this week. The Cowboys have the Rams coming up. The Giants have the Packers in London. That's no slouch of a game. So this could very well change. I'm kind of hoping it does. I'm hoping that everybody falls but the Eagles this week. But you don't know until you play the game. And that's what we're here to talk about today. It is the game preview of the Philadelphia Eagles in Arizona to take on one of my favorite stadiums. I love that they bring the turf in and out. You know, they take it outside, bring it back in so they can play on natural turf. I love the stadium, but I'm not a fan of the team this weekend. Cardinals used to be part of the NFC East back in the day, if you remember, when they were St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. They moved to Arizona. They were the Phoenix Cardinals for a while. In the Jake Plummer days. And then they left the NFC East for the West, which is made sense, them being down in Arizona. But it is look, on the surface of this game, it's got a lot of intriguing matchups. But the biggest thing to talk about is this game. Is this season, this history tour that we're doing through Eagle, you know, days of Eagles past. I don't know what is going on with the schedule makers this year, but look at the Eagles schedule from games 1 through 5. We faced Deuce Staley, our former running back coach, who was also a member of the coaching staff during the Super Bowl run as a running backs coach. Then you face Jalen Reagor, which that's kind of insignificant, but he was on the team. It's significant because he was a wasted number one draft pick when we could have had Justin Jefferson. So that was a significant game. And then we face the Commanders and Carson Wentz, and that's a huge, you know, brick callback. And then our Super Bowl winning coach, Doug Peterson. And now here comes the great, we've dealt with all of them. 4-0, dealt with all of them. And now we're coming up on our former tight end. Speaking of tight ends earlier, when we talked about Dallas, Zach Ertz, who I still love. My fantasy team still called Ertz when I pee. I've always been an Ertz fan. I was very thankful when he was here. I loved when we had both him and Dallas on the team. But yeah, this Eagles tour does not stop. with everything that's going on. And then it doesn't end. Next week, we'll talk about next week. Jason Peters. I mean, come on. It just, how is this working out this way? It's really strange. What do you think about this?
Man, it's been a hell of a start to the season, man. And, you know, like we've been mentioned, we mentioned that, you know, a few pods ago, like just every week there's a storyline that the Eagles can kind of hold on to and take that into the week and, you know, have that motivation, you know, something to play for versus just, you know, just lolling, you know, team to sleep or like, okay, who's new this week? You know, it's the Cardinals. It's something to go play for. We know Zach Ertz is over there. You know, the guys have probably been talking as well, too. You know, probably been, hey, man, what's in town? Hey, can I stop by? You know, these are, I mean, they won the Super Bowl together. That's like a brotherhood.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, man, I'm sure it'll be a, you know, I'm sure Zach would love to see his old teammates again. But he's on the other side. So we're going to have to hopefully T.J. Edwards or Kassir White, whoever is guarding him, and go ahead and knock his block off while you're at it. We cool with that.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a tough assignment. He's playing some good football for them. I rewatched the last game against Carolina, and he's about all Kyler Murray's got right now if on the field. Rondale Moore is not doing anything for him. So Kyler was either the run game or throw to Ertz. It seemed to be all game long. It's interesting to when you look at their weapons to see what's out there. And Ertz is playing out of his head. He's playing really good football for them from the tight end position. He is as good as a wideout is in those situations. So yeah, whoever's covering him, man, it's going to be a tall order. But we'll see how it goes. We've got a lot to unpack on the game as far as the predictions and everything. But there is one other thing I wanted to touch on was if you watch the Monday night game. Jalen Hurts was on there as a guest of Peyton and Eli on their show. I have taken to watching Peyton and Eli whenever they're on because, number one, I don't care for a lot of the announcers in the NFL. I think they just soundboards. They dab, 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 dab. And Peyton and Eli at least know about the game. They'll break down a little bit more insight. And then the guests are funny. The previous week they had Tracy Morgan on there, who was hilarious. And then this week they had Jalen. So, of course, I'm going to watch Peyton and Eli. And if you watched it, there was this is the Jalen here on the podcast or on the broadcast, and look at the sweater he's wearing, the sweatshirt, and it says "God bless whoever hating on me." Now, do you think there was a strategic reason for wearing that particular shirt on this podcast tonight?
I'm definitely. It goes back to that tweet, Hurts. Don't it? You know, just he is just it. You know, basically, Jalen has just been quiet. He's been letting his game speak for itself, and he's just been kind of, you know, it just goes to show you how much he heard, like last year coming into this year, and just how he's just like, you know, how he's handling everything. And I think that's why, you know, just kind of going back to the presser. I think that's why he even handled it like that. Remember I said a few weeks ago, it's almost like he don't even trust me. Like he's just sitting there looking at him like, man, it's like, and then I believe him ending off like that, you know, just kind of proved like, man, like he's there, like he's locked in, you know what I'm saying? He's focused on what's going on. So, you know, God bless whoever hating. He put the G in there. He ain't put hate in. It's hating. God bless whoever hating on me. I think he just want to be left alone and play football, but he know he can't, man. He's in a rowdy, rowdy city. I actually haven't caught the Peyton that much. It must be on a separate channel,
it's
right?
It's on ESPN too.
So, okay. So it's just a channel over, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Okay. I did catch it. I caught it, I think like the first episode, but most of the time I guess I'm just stuck on just the regular channel. I kind of forget about it until I see it after the game and I see like who's made a comment or something on there or something funny. But I do know they always have a special guest on there. A lot of people.
He was good. He was typical Jalen. He was very reserved. He was very methodical with his answers. He wasn't getting baited. But one of the things that came out that I thought was really interesting is they talked about how much time he spent with Peyton learning the game, how much time he has spent with Tom Brady, picking their brains. This is a guy And he said it on the show. He was like, football is my life, and this is all I want to do right now. So I am going to learn everything there is to know about it before mm-hmm. going into these situations. And I think that is brilliant. It's great to hear from your quarterback. You know, the only thing that could screw up that is if a woman gets in his life like Carson Wentz and he starts having kids like Carson Wentz, and then that all stops. I'm just saying, you know, it could. But right now, or if he gets sucked into Call of Duty and starts hanging out with Kyler Murray, then maybe he's...
Man, everybody games, man. I got to you, but everybody games, man. Like, all of them do. You know, like, even though you check out Twitch, like, I know Sergio isn't playing that much, but, like, Sergio Aguero is, like, one of, like, the biggest FIFA streamers.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid is one of the biggest FIFA streamers. These guys, man, they, I know it's just a jokey joke.
But, it is, because they talk about whenever Kyler has, whenever there's a double points weekend, for Call of Duty, Kyler's always like not getting any rest, and he always plays his worst football because he is deep into that Call of Duty. But yeah,
like a gamer team, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. He's like a professional gamer.
He is.
He has a professional gaming team or something like that.
But as far as Jalen goes, I don't know so much that he is. I think that real football is Jalen's team. You just hear so many stories about it. And going into this game, I you know, like you talked about with the interview, which is so important to bring that up, because he knows how this game works. And he wasn't going to leave that press conference without saying something complimentary about Arizona, because he doesn't mm-hmm. want any bulletin board material reaching them. Because let's face it, we could talk Jack all the time about bulletin board material, how it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Absolutely.
You have to, people find a way to motivate themselves to play a certain way. It's like when I said to you, when Arizona won last week, I was like, I'm so glad that they won, because I don't like playing teams coming off a loss. Even bad teams coming off a loss or two losses in a row, they play much harder because they're tired of losing, or they're going to right the ship. They're going to play that much harder. If you get them when they're kind of coming off a road win, you know, it's important to them. Another thing that Jalen said last week that I thought was just an amazing quote that he talked about, and this came from his coaches, and so this isn't an original quote by him, but this is what he said to his team in the locker room. He said, "We cannot just feel the temperature in the room. We must be the thermostat," meaning we set the temperature. We don't just feel the temperature. So when they go into a game setting, they don't let the game dictate to them what must be done. They change it. And it's a brilliant quote. It's something that you can absorb and take into. Of course, if you look at the version of it, Michael Irvin tried to repeat the quote because he thought it was cool on the Rich Eisen show, and he says, "We cannot just feel the temperature in the room. We must be the thermometer." Which is the
you know same. He said it emphatically in his
Michael Irvin. No, he did. The thermometer.
You know he said it emphatically.
Leave it to Michael Irvin to screw up a great, great quote, because it is. It's important. That's an important difference between thermostat and thermometer.
A thermostat is what Jalen does. I mean, a thermometer is what Jalen doesn't want to be.
No.
they were thermometers last year. You know, teams would come in, set the temperature, throw for 80 plus on us, stop us, and leave up out of there. We're putting it up to 75 if we want to. We setting it down to 62 if we feeling chilly, and that's a good mindset to have, you know, going forward into this next week, man. And, you know, catch the Cardinals. It's a dangerous squad, man. Yeah. They can be. They haven't necessarily played like it. And you watched any Cardinals game, they aren't like scary by any means. They make a ton of mistakes, but they came back against the Raiders. I think that gives them a lot of confidence.
Yep.
Right? They did. Big comeback, too.
Yeah, and that was their only other win on the season. In fact, mm-hmm. I saw a graphic when I watched the game back this morning. It said that the lead that they took in the Carolina game was the first third quarter lead they'd had all year so far. So because they didn't take over until the end of the Raider game. So right. they trailed in every game this year until the third quarter of the Carolina game. It is a team that is dangerous. To me, this feels kind of like a trap game because we've got Dallas next week. So it is a dangerous situation on the road with an opponent that no one's talking about. Everybody, you know, Eagles are 5.5-point favorites. It's everybody's talking about them, you know, and people are really overlooking the Eagles as a whole. We've dropped down in the power rankings. Every media show just kind of, we're an afterthought because they'd rather talk about the Packers and the Chiefs and the Bucks and everything and the Cowboys, of course. But and so it is like a trap game. I'm kind of glad that like I was watching Inside the NFL and just like when I was watching Good Morning Football, I read the story was that they said zero words about the Eagles being 4-0. They showed the highlight of the game against Jacksonville, and then they showed the highlight of Tua going down. And then as soon as they came back into the studio, they spent 20 minutes talking about concussions and Tua and didn't even bother to talk about the Eagles beating Jacksonville. Cool. This is what we're dealing with right now as a fan base. We never get respect as Eagles fans. The team never gets respect. So that's cool with me because I know the team watches that stuff. If I'm getting up to watch Inside the NFL and NFL in, you know, the different shows, Good Morning Football, whatever, I'm tuning in because we won and I want to hear some praise on my team. I want to see these nationwide people take notice of how good the Eagles are this year. And the lack of coverage is a motivating factor to me. So I'm thankful that going into this game that the Eagles are going to be going in going, you know what, let's give them something to talk about because they don't want to talk about us. So
you know what doesn't help?
What's that?
You see, you want to talk about some bulletin board material. You know, Shady McCoy has a little platform now over there.
Yeah.
On Fox, on FS1. And on the show Speak. It used to be like Speak for Yourself. Now it's just called Speak. And what he said about Kyler Murray, he's trash. I don't have the exact quote, but he definitely called him trash. And that's enough. That's enough to it. Nothing, you know, everything else after that can't be great. So he called Kyler Murray trash, man. So that's fuel on the fire that you don't even need, man. You know, Shady, you know, you were a good running back, man. You know, you have two Super Bowls, but anybody, I could have won those Super Bowls with those teams because you didn't play.
Right.
So it's not like you didn't burn any calories, any calories. Your old coach, Andy Reid, who drafted you, didn't even give you no playing time in the Super Bowl. And you get on there, you're a little arrogant, man. You know, I think McCoy is a little arrogant. I appreciate him being a person that is going hard for the Eagles that you know, he is bringing up that the Eagles are playing good football. But he's giving teams bulletin board material. Like I said, he called Kyler Murray trash, man. That's enough for most players. He's still a – didn't Kyler win the Heisman?
Yes, he did. He did from Oklahoma. Oklahoma, yeah, won the Heisman. And coached under the same coaches that Hurts is under. They know each other. They are aware of their high school careers. Jalen talked about that this week. So I'm glad that McCoy doesn't speak for the team because he's retired. He used to run his mouth when he was there. He's like McNabb, too. Now that they're retired, they like to shoot their mouth off. But they're not official team reps. I was the only kind of team member I was kind of worried about was Sanders after the Jacksonville win saying that I don't think there is a team out there that can beat us. I'm like, dude, you got to temper that down. He's already been told by A.J. Brown to stop that talk.
Wow.
He said it in the locker room after it was over. It made a little bit of a ripple, enough to where I noticed it. And I was like, dude, you've got to stop saying this stuff in a year where I know that they're undefeated, but you got to keep going. And AJ has already corrected it. AJ is, to me, such a great force in the locker room, and Jalen too, because they're tempering all that, going, look, we still got another game to go. So let's win this next game, and let's not even look to Dallas because that's where the trap game comes in, where it could be a lot of trouble, and also because we're dinged up, you know, after the Jacksonville game and that rain game, we lost four key members, but the good news is we've been told that they all have a chance to play on Sunday. Maialata looks like he's really on a fast track to play, as well as Seumalo and Slay possible. Maddox, they may be one more week. Because of his ankle, and they want to take that slow. But Slay had an arm issue, and Mailata had a shoulder. He said according to him, he dodged a bullet, is what he said. Quote unquote, I dodged a bullet, which makes me nervous. What bullet did you dodge? And another injury that we got was we found out today that Jake Elliott is not going to play on Sunday either. So the Eagles signed Cameron Dicker to the practice squad, and they've now elevated him to the starting role. He will be the kicker on Sunday, former Texas kicker. He was on the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. So
this is where we know him from. He has that old big old smile.
Yes.
I think he made a kick and kind of did a little gesture or something like that. I think that's I'm like, why is his name? Why do I know a kicker that I don't know?
Dicker the kicker, man. Dicker the kicker.
Yeah, that's
who we've got. And so that's scary going into this game, having an unknown at your kicking game. I was kind of surprised they didn't go for a vet that's out there. I mean, there's a few veteran kickers, I'm sure, to be had. I was surprised that they went with kind of an unproven individual. I don't even know what his stats are. And I just found out right before we went on the air that he was even going to play at all. So I would have looked that up. I don't know. It's tough.
Man, you just go with who's ever reportedly hot right now.
Right.
They go on streaks like golfers. Seems like sometimes they're on, sometimes they're way off. So, you know, yes, some experience, but you're right, man. Honestly, I don't know who else is out there, honestly, on the kicker market. that's, you know, so I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. I expect every kicker to be able to kick for some reason. Like, look, yeah, it's the only thing you have to do. So I expect every kicker that put on an NFL helmet to make the kick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all you got. One job. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that we're just kicking extra points. And because, you know, during the Jacksonville game, we didn't go for a lot of field goals because of the weather. And the one they did go for, it nearly killed our kicker. And hopefully Jake Elliott can come back very soon onto the field. But, yeah, it's going to – with the injury situation, I said it on Monday, I hope that really that these aren't serious injuries. And if they are, we do hold these people out. Because I do think with some of these injuries, the Eagles can still beat Arizona. I'm worried about Josiah Scott playing in place of Maddox. Hopefully they work with him this week to shore him up on his coverages, because he had to kind of go in a little bit cold. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, look, you need to get real. You need to have a come to Jesus and be able to fill in for Avante. I don't expect him to be Avante, but I expect him to fill into that role. But other than that, I think this is a team that the Eagles could beat with some injuries and then be able to focus on having those guys healthy for Dallas. What we don't want is to leave this game with more injuries than we came in and have to face Dallas on a Sunday night at home and not be able to field a healthy team. That would suck for me. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I know on the Cardinals side, one of their biggest injuries is, you heard about J.J. Watt, right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't hear about it right before the Cardinals game, right? This is brilliant. I think it was on
before last week.
Yeah, before last week.
Yes.
He started having an atrial fibrillation, which my wife has, by the way. She has to take medication for it. It's a very serious heart condition. And they had to shock him into, you know, to get his heart going and back in a normal rhythm. I mean, and then he plays on Sunday. It's crazy for that. It's unbelievable. I got dogs fighting in the background, so that's always fun when I'm trying to do a live podcast. My wife is on the road, so I'm babysitting our dogs, and I'm about to yell at them here in a second. But let's take a look at this week's the recent games that have been played by the Cardinals and the Eagles and compare them. We see the Eagles. We know the Eagles' schedule. We've talked about it. They've been dominant in all their games except for the two scores they gave up in Jacksonville and playing around with Detroit. Otherwise, it's been total dominance. Eagles, one of the best teams in the league. On the Carolina side of the ball, they opened up the season with a blowout loss at home against Kansas City. Now, again, we've said, I think, over and over again, week one is week one. Let's not really hold. Everybody's trying to get their legs under them. They didn't have a long preseason. They're settling things. Let's worry about that. But then the next week, we remember at Las Vegas, that was the game where the Raiders were so confident they were going to win that people popping champagne in the stands in the fourth quarter. And the Cardinals came back after trailing the whole game and won 29-23. They had a close one at home against the Rams, but they did lose by 8. The Rams were kind of in control defensively in that game the whole time, but they didn't put up a lot of points, the Rams, that is, and the Cardinals, of course, didn't. And then we on the road at Carolina, and Baker Mayfield is just straight up, and he is garbage this year. He's garbage all every year, let's be honest, but the move to Carolina has not helped him at all. I watched the game back again this morning just to get a feel for the Cardinals, and it was both teams looked confused, befuddled, tons of turnovers, neither one really moving the ball. It was 10-3 Carolina at the half, and then the Cardinals came out in the second half and caught fire. They had a really good drive to start the third quarter, you know, and tied it up, and then they just dominated. They had Baker Mayfield turnovers. You know, they had a really bad interception return. So it was a game that the Cardinals easily could have won. They were trailing at halftime, but they took the lead in the third quarter and didn't look back. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. It's kind of weird. The one thing is that does scare me on here is that the Cardinals have not got a home win yet this year. So that's, you know, that's, they're wanting to win at home for their home fans. So there's motivation there. Does it matter? Probably not when you're playing the Eagles. I mean, but that's, it is what it is. And then you look at their overall stat leaders. Of course, Jalen Hurts averaging 280 yards a game with a 66 completion percentage, 4 TDs, 2 interceptions. Doesn't have his rushing TDs in there. While Kyler Murray is hitting it about 247 yards a game, 65% completion rate, 5 TDs, 2 interceptions. I will say this about the guy. I watched the game. What I'm seeing Kyler Murray do a lot, since he doesn't have a lot of receiving help, he doesn't know D-hop, so he's struggling with a downfield threat. He's got Hollywood Brown, but Hollywood Brown is not D-hop. It's not Tyreek Hill. He doesn't always come up with a catch. He doesn't always get open. So their offensive line a lot of times hasn't given Kyler Murray the time for Brown to get open so that they can hit him downfield. That's why his passing numbers are so low. He does a lot of dink and dunk. The Eagles are going to have to be prepared for a lot of short passes out of this team to the backs and just to little slant passes and flat routes and stuff like that. You look at their rushing game, it's almost non-existent. You got Miles Sanders at 89 yards a game for the Eagles with 3 touchdowns, and Connor on the other side at 36 yards a game. That's average. Their best rushing leader. And then again, I mentioned Hollywood Brown is averaging 84 yards a game. Well, he has 2 touchdowns. And then we got A.J. Brown averaging 101 yards a game with 1 TD. So stat leader wise, we know who the stars are, and we know, you know, what we've got going in there. And I think the edge on that goes to the Eagles. But let's look at the league rankings. Right now, the Eagles are 4th in points scored per game. And the Cardinals are sitting at 14th with 22 points a game. Points allowed per game, the Cardinals are at the bottom of the heap. And their defense doesn't really impose its will. It doesn't get a really good pass rush. That could bode really well for the Eagles. I was watching that Carolina game, and they gave Baker all kinds of time. He still made really bad mistakes. They do play a lot of man, similar to Jacksonville, so that might give Jalen Hurts a little bit of fits, but we'll see. Yards, Arizona is right in the middle of the pack, 16th at 362 yards a game. Eagles are 2nd in the league with 444 yards per game average. Passing yards, but we talked about Kyler, 250 yards, 17th in the league. The Eagles, 280, 8th in the league. Rushing yards, again, 112 yards per game, 15th in the league. A lot of that is Kyler. So that's one thing you're really going to have to worry about, is him running out of the pocket and taking off, because he still does that, and he's still quick and elusive. The Eagles, on the other hand, 165 rushing yards per game. Unbelievable. 5th in the league. Time of possession, almost even. The Eagles are 4th in the league and Cardinals 5th. Third down efficiency, again, a big gap here. Eagles 8th in the league at 43% and the Cardinals 29th in the league at 31%. They seem to melt down on third down. They do face, I saw in the Carolina game, they faced a lot of third and longs. Sacks, not even in a comparison here. I mentioned they don't get to the quarterback very often. 32nd in the league with 4 sacks, and the Eagles are number 1 in the league with 15 right now. Interceptions, Eagles 7th in the league with 5, and the Cardinals with 2. So defensively, they don't tend to strike a lot of fear into your heart. I didn't see anything that worried me, so we'll have to see where it goes. So looking at all that, what are your impressions on the Cardinals?
Well, with the, you know, just even going deeper in, you know, from the stats, you know, just they've allowed 104 average quarterback rate, 104 quarterbacks are completing 68% of their passes, and they've given up 8 touchdowns on the season. So, man, if Jalen can come out with 104 rating, I think it's a W behind that. But this is a playmaking team. You know, Kyler can do a lot of the things that Jalen can do with his feet. He just does it a lot like quicker. Jalen does it with more power. This would be like more like lightning. how he gets out, you know, how he scored last week was they did the stretch play with Kyler on like what the 3-yard line, stretch it out with Connor, and he gets in. So we have to worry about that, because remember last week when Agnew got those 2 touchdowns out there, I just want to make sure that when we go into man, that we're able to stop him. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a really big deal. You know, receiver wise, nobody really jumps off. You got an old AJ Green. You got Hollywood Brown. I mean, you've pretty much said it, man. It's just Zach Ertz has been their number one target. And I think Hollywood had about 8 targets last week. So let's see, it might be right on there. How many targets?
Yeah. Well, this is just their total for the year.
Nothing really jumps off the table for you, man. You know, they haven't gotten Ertz involved, but we've been doing well against tight ends for the most part. You take that Irv Smith drop away, which could have been a huge play. You know, we've done well. Logan Thomas didn't do anything last week. Evan Engram didn't do anything last week. Yep. Logan Thomas didn't do anything the week before that. I just can't remember a tight end besides Irv Smith having any success on him. I'm not downplaying Ertz. But I think it shows that Kaiser White is playing really good defense out there, because he's kind of been the guy to cover the tight ends. You know, 3 pass deflections by Kaiser, that's pretty good for a tight. You know, you're almost getting about 1 a game, one knockdown a game. That means you're putting yourself in a position to make a play. And I think that's why he's calling the plays for that defense as well, too, man. I think we match up really well against this team. You've seen the accolades coming into this week. Almost every week has been a player, Eagles player being player of the week. I will say Devontae Smith probably got snubbed on his 169 game. I forgot who they gave it to, maybe DK, Metcalf or something like that. But anyway, I thought he got a little snubbed on that. That was a hell of a week. And those catches against Washington were unbelievable for him to not get player of the week. I mean, let's talk about that. That's crazy to not get offensive player of the week. Any other wide receiver goes to like your opening points. Any other wide receiver probably gets – Justin Jefferson gets player of the week if he catches that ball like that in 169, and, you know, because they got to keep up with the gritty. And I seen kids grittying on the playground coming out of school. It's just – he made that so popular, bro. It's on FIFA. FIFA 23, you can gritty on FIFA 23.
Yeah, you got Wilson and New York Jets doing it.
Wilson, Gesicki. Yeah,
it's crazy.
From the tight end from the Dolphins. Remember, he was like, looked a lot better in the mirror.
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so he has created a trend, you know.
But, yeah, no respect for Devontae because he's not the name. He's not the name right now. Right now.
Right.
They've got to keep building on it. They really do.
And this is a Heisman Trophy winner, too. You would think that he's not boisterous. You know, he blocks and roots for his teammate as they score. You know, the Eagles, I just love the team that we have put together. But from an offensive side, man, I don't – we just have to keep Kyler in the pocket. If he starts scatting around, because he can make, like, endless plays. Like, he can just continue to play on and on. I mean, his speed is – like, I'm sure it's like trying to catch Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, it's just so quick, so elusive, and he's so small. Most people have to come down to hit him, and he's like gone before you can, you know, almost before you know it. So, but yeah, wide receiver wise, they don't really hurt us. Defensively, we already did. I mean, 104. That means anybody going in there, this looked like the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
Right. You have 104 QBR, 68%. Like what teams were doing at us last year. I think if they give up anywhere close to that, the Eagles will have a good day against them, man. We just don't get hurt with the big plays. No Marquise, like how Christian Kirk hit us at the end of the game, last game. Nothing like that for Marquise Brown. Nothing, you know, those Agnew plays where you turn around and Agnew's just wide open. You know, I can imagine like Dortch, I think his name is going to like play that role. You know, let's not have some guy like Dortch get 2 touchdowns on us or, you know, And we're playing in the dome. That's good. Going from like terrible weather to the dome, and you're on grass. Players love to play on grass. It's softer. You know, the tackle is way softer when you're there, especially if it's nicely watered. That's why soccer is played on grass, because it's better to fall on. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to digress.
Well, we've seen recent injuries on turf, and everybody's mm-hmm. lobbying for it. And people are like, why are we still playing on turf? Even especially outdoor stadiums, it makes no sense. So yeah, I'm very thankful for this stadium, because we need something like this for this game. You're absolutely right. Defensively, I mean, they got Watt on the line, but again, he's battling a heart condition, man. He should have that looked at, but we'll see how that goes. And they're not pressuring the quarterback, so this gives Jalen Hurts a lot of opportunities. With Kyler, I think one of the things that you mentioned is really good. I was watching a game tape on how Buffalo played Lamar Jackson, and it was consistent where the defensive ends, when they rushed Lamar, always made sure they never passed him. And so they may not have tried to get the sacks that was necessary, but they weren't going to go past Lamar so that he could slip out between the defensive ends and make a big run. And that was one of the keys. Exactly. So that's one of the keys that Buffalo did. I think the Eagles have to do the same thing, where Gannon's got to come in prepared to keep Kyler in the pocket. You keep him in the pocket, he can't see. He is a very short quarterback. He gets a lot of passes batted down if you can keep him in that pocket. So that's when it takes out the Hollywood Brown deep pass, because he can't see downfield. It is a fact. But if you get him outside the pocket, he's a very good passer on the run. And again, extremely elusive. So
yeah.
Rondale Moore, who I have on my fantasy team because I do think he's a good wide receiver, he was coming off an injury last week. So, it could be that that's just the first game back from an injury. He could actually find his stride this week. So it could be a tough matchup against our DBs. We'll just have to wait and see, you know, how it goes. I mean, it really is, to me, like I said, it screams trap. It screams that going that the Eagles may be looking forward to Dallas next week. If it does, it does. But I think this team, I hope this team is above that. I think that they're above trap games. This team seems to be focused. They seem to have a focus that other teams haven't had in the past, and I only hope that it continues with Arizona. I don't want to overstress this game, but I think that the Eagles should win comfortably, but whether they will win, you never know. Any given Sunday. So, anything more you'd like to say about the game? Because after we're done with this, I'm going on a tirade, and I just want to let you know that I've been preparing for this tirade, and I'm getting ready to go off.
Nah, man, just continue to get that pressure. You know, our defense has played outstanding, man. You know, from as much stress as they've caused us last week or last year. I mean, we continue, like you opened when you said Hassan Reddick, how he's playing in the proper position now. You've seen the effect that number 7 has. Coming off any team that watch tape right now, 7 has to be jumping off your screen, because you see how active he is. He's super active. You can see it just watching the game. He's like, who's 7? Because he's just active. You can just see him, the hand fighting, the acceleration, the want to get to the quarter. You can see it. It jumps out, and the results, you know, backed it up, man. But I think that's really it, man. I think we play our game. Keep him in the box, like we talked about. He is short. That's his biggest downfall, is his height. It's something that ain't nothing he can do about that. And we got big Jordan Davis, big 6'12". I know he's not 6'12". Big 6'12" Jordan Davis. Just stick him in the middle and just try to see if Kyler could throw over him, you know. So, yeah, man, this is a very winnable game, you know, because the Cardinals just haven't shown us anything this year, really. And almost we don't really know. Yeah, just anything. Nobody should struggle against Carolina, in my opinion, you know, because they aren't playing well at all. So they still end up holding McCaffrey to 27 yards. So we got to be worried about that. Christian McCaffrey, still a special player. He still came out of Arizona with 27 yards. So if Miles Sanders comes out of there with 27 yards, we may be in trouble. So good, we point. Have to continue that balance. That balance, that balance, that balance. That's where Carolina didn't balance at. And that's pretty much why they were up and then they were down, because they didn't keep that balance of any sort. McCaffrey had like one good run the whole game. So that D line gets after it. Like you mentioned Watt. I don't know the guy's name, like, but they get after it. Like, you know, you, like I said, you hold Christian McCaffrey to 27 yards, really big deal. So the passing game is where we have to hit the Cardinals at. That's their weak spot. We just so happen to have very, very, very competent wide receivers that are ready for the job. I'm looking to see a Zach Pascal breakout game. I want to see him have a breakout game. I want to see Pascal have a breakout game. He's been doing really well blocking for us. He had that. He had a, you know, unfortunate situation last week where it was bad throw, bad weather, gets tipped, and it's just like, ah, you know, it sucks to have that game. But, hey, man, I'm looking for Pascal to maybe have a breakout game, or Quez to have a super breakout game, you know, because we should be able to have some space against this Cardinals defense to do a lot of things, man. So definitely expect the Birds to come out with a victory.
Sounds good. I agree, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. It's 4:25 in Arizona, so it's the late starting games. I hate when they start late. Gonna have to wait, but that's okay. I'll be good. I'll watch some football and try to calm my nerves before the Eagles start up. All right, before we leave today, I have just something to get off my chest because, like I said earlier, I've been dealing with a lot with the Eagles being 4-0. There's a lot of haters have come out of the woodwork. I think when Jalen wore that sweatshirt, I think it was not necessarily talking about Eagles fans, but everyone else that doubted him, some Eagle fans and some Eagle media, but everyone doubting him and doubting what's going on. But another thing that has come about, because you and I were in the military and we traveled a lot and we know people from all over, so everybody has their own team. So we know fans of other teams. So I talked to a lot of fans of multiple teams. We're not in this little NFL bubble where we only talk to our own fans. And one of the things that has bothered me when I talk to my friends is they'll say, I don't dislike Philadelphia. I hate their fans. Or the media saying Philadelphia fans are the most classless in the league. Everybody you know, that is not a Philadelphia fan tends to agree. And it's built on this media representation of Philadelphia as being, even though it's blue collar to an extent, we've talked about that, but being just a bunch of morons, beer swilling, just aggressive, violent, vulgar idiots is what most people would characterize Philadelphia as. So I decided to do some easy digging. All you got to do is Google to try to find some things out. So I'm going to ask you, Tubby, a real quick question. Out of all the 32 teams, who do you think gets into fights more? What would be your guess? Now, this is you as an Eagles fan.
This is me as an Eagles fan. Who would get into fights more? All right, I'm going to go, I'm going to start with the region. I think it's Midwest.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, like, man. Let's take a shot in the dark. I'll do, get some more fights. I'll just say Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that's a good guess. Good guess.
They've been miserable for so long.
Good guess. They have a reason to be upset. It makes sense to guess Cleveland. Well, the NFL fans were polled about this, and I'm going to bring this up if you can see it. Provokers, fans who would start a fight. And if you look at the top of the list, there's our beloved Philadelphia Eagles, Raiders, Steelers, Patriots, Cowboys, Bills, Bears, Ravens. Cleveland's right there at 10. This is what the fans think. Now, I do like this one. Fans that would be most likely to win a fight. Philadelphia Eagles, Las Vegas. It's almost the same lineup, except the Patriots fall down a little bit. So it's funny. And then it's got peacekeepers, those who would stop a fight. Seattle, Minnesota. That is totally wrong when you look at the numbers. And fans most likely to lose a fight. I love this one. Indianapolis Colts. And we know this. We've been to Indy. They are some of the nicest people in the world. Nice. Number one, they wouldn't start a fight. And number two, they sure as hell wouldn't finish a fight. And then you got Carolina, Tennessee, Washington, Miami. All that makes sense to me. Cincinnati, I'm not so sure about. I've seen some crazy things in my time here in Cincinnati. But here's my problem is that list, and there's several others like that. You can Google who do fans think are the worst and most aggressive fans in football? And overwhelmingly, it is the Philadelphia Eagles. But that's not necessarily what the facts show when you start breaking it down. So I just did a quick Google search of arrests in the NFL, just fan arrest. And the Google's first thing,
free, right?
Google is completely, Google's free, man. And okay. So the first thing that pops up, Dallas Cowboys fans repeatedly punch man in melee during Buccaneers games. This happened September 12th, 22, just this year. And then January 16th of this year, video shows Cowboy fans throwing objects as players after loss to 49ers. Cowboys and 49ers fans pummel each other in wild card playoff brawl. And let's not even forget that during the Dak Prescott injury game this year, they were throwing full water bottles at the officials and at Dak because he was playing poorly because they didn't know how the extent of his injury. They didn't realize he was injured. They're throwing crap at their own quarterback. But yet everybody considers the Eagles fans to be the worst in the league. So that's just a quick cursory Google search. There is also a in-depth research that was done over a four-year period from 2014 to 2018, I believe, was what the research was. And what they did, what they tried to gauge was, it was really just about a study of how NFL fans are aggressive, when they are aggressive. They found out some really neat things, that night games are, they have more arrests and fights than day games because everybody's drinking all day. Playoff games have more arrests and fights than non-playoff games because there's more on the line. So players get, you know, fans get a little bit rowdy. But they didn't look at just incidents inside a stadium. They looked at incidents outside the stadium. So before I get into that study, I have on my phone, I have the top 15 NFL teams with the most fan arrest. This is just inside the stadium. At number 15, you have the Green Bay Packers. Makes sense, Midwest team. Number 14, Minnesota Vikings. Midwest team, a lot of beer drinkers. Number 13, Chicago Bears. Number 12, Miami Dolphins, which is kind of surprising. 11, Cleveland Browns. There's your pick right there. Most fan arrests. When I look at fan arrests, it's definitely drunkenness. It's definitely fights. So that's why it all gets lumped in together. And at number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles. So The team that they say gets the most arrests, that are the most thugs, that beat the most people up, that do the most crap, are coming. This is numbers. This is legit arrests inside a stadium. Numbers. Who's ahead of the Eagles? The New England Patriots at number 9. The Seattle Seahawks, the ones that the fans all said would be the ones not to start a fight, they are number 8 on the list with the most fan arrests inside the stadium.
Damn.
The New Orleans Saints, which kind of makes sense because everybody's partying in NOLA. And so that's at number 7. The Buffalo Bills, again, no surprise there. Those people do the dropping through the tables in the parking lot and do the throwing the dildos on the field during games. Number 6, it's Buffalo. Number 5, New York Jets. Number 4, Cincinnati Bengals, which again was in that can't win a fight, which I love. I've seen some crazy stuff at a Bengal stadium. There was a recent video that went out where a lady just flat out projectile vomited.
I saw. Oh,
you see that? And it was at a Bengals game. Yeah. And again, but the Eagles fans are trash. I mean, come on. Man. I've never seen that in an Eagles game. At number 3, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Which makes sense. Number 2, the Oakland Raiders. I would have picked them to be number 1, to be honest with you, because we know they're crazy. And number 1, San Francisco 49ers. Same thing. Oaktown, man. You've got so many people in Oaktown that love to fight. And those two together, whew, you get them together. You got
area bias here.
You get
a lot of Bay Area bias.
But those are numbers. That's numbers. That's not polls. That's actual arrests inside the stadium. So you saw where the numbers lie. So we've been told that the Eagles fans are trash. Eagles, yeah, yeah. So Dougie P comes to town. Do they boo him? Do they throw trash on the field because he's not on our team anymore? No. They stood up and applauded the man. What did Russell Wilson get when he went to Seattle? Man. Rain of boos. This man led you to a Super Bowl.
One.
Yeah, one, and almost won another if they had to run the damn ball.
Oh.
But you're going to boo? I can't imagine. So this is why I get so incensed as an Eagles fan. I have been defending my team for years and defending our fans. And I'm not going to say that we don't have some stupid fans. But here's the thing. Everybody does. This is not an isolated thing to when somebody gets drunk and starts a fight. I saw a fight the other day with 2 Steeler fans. They were both Steeler fans, and one guy headbutted the other guy upside the head, and his girlfriend comes in with these weak-ass punches trying to hit him, and then he almost hit her. He like leaned back, Anyway, oh, you're lucky. You're lucky those are weak-ass punches. This is in Pittsburgh. And it's, but it's like every time something happens in Philly, or if any time a bad fan is mentioned, the media and all these people got to bring up Santa Claus. I got news for you. When the Eagles fans threw snowballs at Santa Claus, that was 1969. I wasn't even born yet. This is old news. So it's like you see these numbers and you see the truth, mm-hmm. and you know, yeah, the Eagles are 10th. It doesn't surprise me. I watched them in Detroit. They were drunk, but I didn't have a Eagles fan get up in my face and tell me that he was going to clip my wings like I did a Detroit fan that wanted to fight me. I had the Eagles fans drunk and going Eagles and starting their song. But I had more Detroit fans wanting to start crap than I did Eagles fans at that game. So they're a little rowdy, but that's what it is. And one last fact. So this study that I was telling you about, they did a 4-year study and they looked at the stadium arrests both inside and out of the stadium. So not just in, because there's a lot that happens outside the stadium. Surprise, surprise, Dallas refused to be a part of this study. I wonder why. There were several teams that declined to be a part of it, and so that numbers are in there. But the ones that did give them the data, which is this is inside and outside the stadium, the most arrest happened in San Diego, believe it or not, inside the stadium. And then outside Giants Stadium or Jet Stadium, MetLife Stadium. So the Giants and Jets games, same, Raiders and Steelers. I don't see the Eagles in the top five there in arrest. I don't see them in the top five. On the bottom five, you got the Seahawks, which is kind of funny because they're in the top 10 in arrests inside the stadium, but not on the outside. Then you got Bears, which is surprising, Buccaneers, Texans, and Panthers. That all makes sense. I've been to Texans games. They're very mild down there. And the people in Carolina are mild too, and Buccaneers fans, they're all cool. And I think a lot of that with the Bears and Seahawks being on that list is that the Seahawks fans and the Bears fans, they save their drinking for inside the stadium. Maybe it's because so damn cold. They don't have
that. I didn't give the West Coast enough credit for, I know, for right? them thinking, you know, when I was stationed at Travis, I went to a couple of Raiders games, but I remember the one I went to against Kansas City Chiefs. There was a fight. There was a couple fights actually. Right there at the concession stand between Raiders fans and Chiefs fans. And we were like opposite of the black hole. So we got to watch them the whole time. But I tell you what, tailgating, beautiful with the Oakland Raiders fans. Let me tell you, in Oakland, not in Vegas. I'm not really sure, you know, how they get down. You know, Vegas is a whole different deal than the Bay Area. They love to party in the Bay, man. Good tailgating though, but I don't know how it is inside the stadium. It's rough.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, we've both been to tons and tons of games as fans. Here's the key. If you're drinking in an opposing team's venue or area, just be cool. Just be cool. Realize you're in enemy territory. And a lot of times people won't start crap with you. Now, that being said, there are people. You can, like, say, go to a Raiders game, and if you're respectful and friendly, every fan will be like, dude, have a beer. Whatever, we're going to kick your ass today. Cool. We're going to kick your ass. But everywhere you go, there's going to be that guy that he's going to see your jersey, and he's going to think that the game starts now, and if I whip your ass, that means our team wins, which mm-hmm. is just ridiculous. But we know they exist. My problem is, and it always is and always will be, because no one's ever going to, my tirade isn't going to change anything. All it's doing is getting something out there in the waves, a voice of truth, of dissenting voice opposite of the media, to stop this insanity toward Eagle fans. Go to an Eagles game. I did security with them when I was in NCO Academy and other times, because I have friends that do it, that when I go out there, they'll go, hey, you want to work security this week? I have rarely had to break any incidents up as security. Now, have I seen fans yell at somebody in an opposing jersey and yell vulgar thing? Yes. But I have seen much worse at other stadiums. I've seen people, if you continue to Google like incidents, and just look at news incidents, fan incidents, you'll find in Pittsburgh somebody urinated over the top railing onto Jets fans below recently.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
You know, I saw in New England when I did a security game there, I saw a Patriots fan pour a full beer over a Yankees fan and then yell, "Go Sox." He's not even wearing a Giants jersey. The Giants aren't even playing. No New York team was playing. He was just wearing his Yankee jersey. Now, kind of stupid to wear a Yankee jersey in New England. You don't do that. They beat the hell out of you for less. Yeah, but it's ridiculous. So my thing is to come down now. I'm going to let my blood pressure sink, is that the facts don't back up what the media is telling you. That the Eagles fans don't have near the arrest, both inside and outside the stadium, that they're being told they are. They don't act the way that we're being told that they act. All fans are garbage at times. Not all fan bases. I don't mean all fans. All fan bases have people in them, including the Cowboys, as we've seen in the media. There are bad Cowboy fans. There are bad Eagle fans. But the fact remains is that we're all football fans. We're here to watch a game. There are a bunch of us that go to the games just to drink and start crap, and that's there always will be. But the most of us are there to watch a game. So let's respect other people's fan bases, and let's stop throwing the gauntlet down and saying that we're trash. So that's all I had to say. Get that off my chest. So now we can get back into the game. I told you it was going to be a tirade. This had been building all season because I was talking to people and I just don't like Eagle fans. And I've heard it over from more than one person. I'm like, why? What is it you don't like? Well, you guys are always starting fights. You're always doing this and you're always doing that. I'm like, really? That makes no sense to me. I don't get it. I don't prove it. The numbers don't back it up. Anyway. With that, we'll hit the highway. Want to remind you that Sunday's game is at 4:25 in Arizona. The Eagles at the Cardinals. We're hoping for another great outcome. We're hoping for another Eagles victory. And let's see if we get it. I'll be watching.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. We want to thank everybody for tuning in, whether you're on the live stream on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook Live, whether you... actually, listen to our regular podcast on Podcaster, Castro, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, or Spotify or any others. If we're not on your provider, you can shoot us an email at lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Tell us what you want, what service you want us to be on, or just send us a comment or a question. We got our fantasy football and picks edition tomorrow. We are going to be doing that at 3 o'clock. So if you need fantasy football advice, be sure to tune in for that, because we will be here for you. We've been doing pretty good on the fantasy, at least you have. I mean, as far as the advice. Your fantasy team's doing good, too.
Yeah. Nah. A couple of, especially that Jeff Wilson Jr. one, I was like, I know, we got that one right. Yeah.
Jamal Williams, too.
Definitely Jamal Williams.
We told everybody, make a trade for Jamal Williams. Dang. He went off. He had quite the game, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. So
remember, I sent you my other league. I have him in my other league. He went berserk, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So with that, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the night.
As always, man, thanks for stopping by the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Lee and Tubby got a tough one on our hands, whether we want to believe it or not. Still think we're going to come out on top. Got the Birds, 27, Cardinals, 10. And with that said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Beat the Cardinals. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 3 o'clock, for the Fantasy Show.